seemed to me that the news here was that a specific point here, I'm going to be covering at least four Champions Tour events this year, which is more than I have in the last few years.
Great.
It seemed like what was interesting, 9 of 27 are on courses that the PGA Tour used to use.
Yeah, I'll give them to you. It was, you know, I calculated it yesterday when we were in Tucson. We announced Exact Sciences, which is a Madison-based company. Cancer screening, Cologuard Classic took over. And the nine courses are the Omni Tucson National, which is now the Cologuard Classic, TPC Sugarloaf, which is the Mitsubishi Electric Classic in Atlanta, and the Woodlands, which is an Verity Invitational. Those are the first three. And then, and I'm trying to follow how the schedule goes, and I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, follow me on this. Then it's going to go, not in any particular order, Enjoy Golf Club, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And then we're obviously going to play the Old Course this year for the Senior Open Championship, which technically comes before that. Bear with me 1 second. I'm straining here. The three at the end are Pebble, Sherwood, and Phoenix Country Club for the Schwab Cup, the Power Shares out in L.A., and then Pebble Beach, which is the Pure Insurance. And then in the middle, again, it's the Old Course. Oh, Warwick. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Warwick Hills. Yeah, which is new on our schedule. So Flint, that one, I think technically it's going to go Senior Open, Dick's Sporting Goods, and then Warwick, not in consecutive order, but within, and then it'll go Pebble, Power Shares, and Phoenix Country Club. So nine golf courses, which is really a pretty cool scene for our guys. You know, they love playing the old courses, and I think that'll be, you know, fun.
But was this a goal? Has this been a goal to get more courses that you used to play? Is that,
you know, I wouldn't say it was necessarily a strategy as much as it was, you know, going to markets that made sense for us from a, you know, strategic standpoint. You know, I'd say it was a combination of a few things. I mean, you know, number one, we had relationships at, you know, Sugarloaf. We had relationships at Sherwood Country Club. And then another part of it really was playing events in markets that, you know, supported golf in the past. And, you know, this championship, you know, we've been playing it, you know, here in the, let's call it Arizona, and then we wanted to try and get more into downtown Phoenix, and, you know, and we were lucky enough to come back to Phoenix Country Club, which, you know, hasn't hosted professional golf since 1986. And then, you know, you start looking at, I mean, certainly Pebble's iconic, you know, on our schedule. I mean, any time you could ever add that, you know, that's, you know, certainly very unique. The Woodlands Golf Course, you know, Houston's a strong market for us, so we, you know, we're excited to, you know, certainly go play there. So, I would say, Len, that, you know, all nine of them are kind of separate and unique as far as how we ultimately got there. But I will tell you that there's just a lot of history, and any opportunity that we have to go back to an existing venue. I can't tell you how many guys came up to me after we announced the Ally Challenge at Warwick Hills about going back there. I mean, just, you know, Mayfair, Verplank, VJ, you know, I mean, all these guys were just, you know, so excited about the opportunity to, you know, go back and play that golf course. And they haven't been there. I think 2009 was the last time they played there. So almost 10 years later that, you know, potentially some guys are going to go back there. But, you know, that's the reaction that you get, you know, out of, you know, players when you have an opportunity to go back and, you know, play the courses that, you know, that they played on. And, you know, it's funny because when we were out at Sherwood a couple of weeks ago, John Mahaffey, you know, does Golf Channel, you know, telling the story about how he and Langer teamed up in the Shark Shootout and finished second, you know. So you get great stories like that. Lanny, of course, you know, won here twice, which is, you know, unique at Phoenix Country Club where I am now. And, you know, he won the Shark. So it helps him and John both tell stories, you know, when they play golf courses that they've been, or Billy Mayfair, or sorry, Billy Ray Brown, or, you know, or John Cook. I mean, their comfort level in the golf course is pretty significant.
back to Exmoor. Now that,
yeah.
If some of your guys had played there,
I would say that they haven't. You know, I mean, I will tell you that my assumption is, you know, maybe with the exception of Jeff Sluman, you know, he would probably, you know, potentially be the only one. But I think they're excited about, you know, going back to a Donald Ross golf course. And, you know, they love playing old-style golf courses. And, you know, I think our feeling is that'll be really a perfect venue to host the senior players. And we're also partnering with Western Golf Association and the Evans Scholars, which, you know, certainly brings back a great connection, I think, with all the players.
Sure. Okay. Good. I didn't mean to jump on the only questions, Rory. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, Greg. Speaking of Exmoor, you know, I've had some time talking to Sandy Stevenson, the member over there, past club president, who's your member chairman, and he's a big Illini guy. And they've got banners up in the parking lot for 2 months already promoting Steve Stricker in the tournament. And unfortunately, there's a scheduling issue. Steve's got a great track record at John Deere. You're the same week as them, and also, same week as the inaugural U.S. Senior Women's Open here in town. So three different events within a three-hour drive has some people wondering about how this scheduling all happened the same week. Can you shed any light on it?
Well, our schedule, we work closely, obviously, with the PGA Tour and being able to try and find a date that, you know, that fits best with Golf Channel, you know, who's our primary partner to basically be able to, you know, deliver, you know, the best windows for us from, you know, from a television standpoint. And that the date that we picked historically has, you know, been in that same time frame. It's kind of a June, July, and really in talking to the club, they weren't as comfortable in playing in early June, you know, agronomically. And, you know, having lived there, I mean, I can remember some Memorial Day weekends, you know, where it was 50 degrees and raining sideways, and you know, in a Cog Hill, it, you know, I mean, the golf course, you know, condition wasn't as good, and really, in talking to Sandy early on, you know, he felt that July time frame was going to put the golf course in probably the best, you know, conditioning is what we thought. I think that's probably number one. I mean, we get a great field at all of our events. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I know Steve's obviously done well at John Deere, but you know, there's 100 guys that will jump at a chance to, you know, play in the event. And we hope that, you know, Steve changes his mind and comes and plays. And I haven't really talked to him about it. And the other thing, I guess, as far as, you know, the ladies and you know, when they're competing, you know, Chicago's a big town. And we feel like, at least when we're positioned on the north side and partnering with Western Golf, that, you know, we think we'll do very well, you know, in that community.
Greg, the other thing that I got to ask you, one of the things people remember you for is you getting Tiger Woods to the PGA Tour at an early age. So have you figured out a way to get somebody into one of your events who might be under 50 yet?
Well, you know, at this point, you know, it's interesting. There was a movement at one point, or I shouldn't say a movement. There was a discussion as the PGA Tour gets younger and younger. And, you know, you're looking at these stars right now that are winning majors at, you know, 22, 23, 24, and how young that tour's getting. And there's really not any real interest to move our schedule back at all, or excuse me, move our age, you know, back at all. There was some conversation of, do you ever move it back to 45? And it's really not contemplated. I mean, if you look at, you know, certainly all of the, you know, the majors, the PGA seniors, you know, the USGA, the European Tour and R&A, you know, I mean, everybody uses 50 as that guideline. And at this point, you know, there isn't anything contemplated. I mean, we're excited. We've got, you know, Darren Clark and Chris DeMarco that are, you know, turning 50 this year and coming out. Last year we had a banner year with David Toms, Steve Stricker, and Jerry Kelly, who's, you know, played great, as David Toms has played great, you know, ranked 17th right now. Jerry's ranked number 6th. Mm-hmm. We had Jose Maria Lethabo and, you know, and a lot of others, and we have tons of European guys that want to come over and play. So, we feel like there's a steady stream. You know, we're a couple of years away from Els, Furyk, Goosen, Mickelson, and 8 years away from Tiger. And he is making overtures that, you know, he'd like to keep playing. I mean, which I think if he's healthy, mm-hmm. you know, nobody's a bigger competitor than he is. I mean, I think if there's a place for him to play, he'd like to come out and play. I mean, if you look at, I mean, look at Vijay, you know, it took him a few years, but now he's, you know, made the playoffs, he's playing regularly. And, you know, so I think they all migrate over here at some point if they're healthy, and it gives them an opportunity to compete.
Greg, has there ever been a discussion of a team event where you could take one of the guys that's sort of in that little dead zone between 45 and 50 and maybe have one event where you've got a guy in the 45 to 50 window, and then maybe somebody, his partner would be somebody in the 50 and up group?
Well, it's an interesting idea. I mean, we do one team event now, Bass Pro Shop Legends of Golf. And we haven't, you know, we've considered, you know, doing the junior, of course, which we do at the Pure Insurance. And then, you know, do you do a college player? You know, do you do a college coach? You know, so we have a lot of different ideas going. We haven't really contemplated, do you take the, the player between, you know, 45 and 50? I mean, if you really think about it, the star power, you know, outside of 10 guys, how many really do you have that are going to, you know, potentially move the needle? I mean, it's a nice thought, but when you really look at it, I mean, you know, outside of, you know, the guys that I already mentioned to you, I mean, you know, we'd love for those guys to, you know, ultimately come play in any form. And, you know, it's something to think about, you know, long term as to whether or not we do it. I don't know if you could get 78 of those guys to be able to potentially come out and play, and then, you know, how do you go opposite of a PGA Tour event? So